Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Messages. This is Reverend Sydney Finn, as always. And today we're going to be talking about dreams. So the reason why I decided to, jump on this topic is I do Q&As on Instagram, and you guys ask me questions, and I get countless questions about dreams. And so I just figured that I would dedicate an entire podcast episode to this topic because you guys are really interested in them, for one. And two, dreams really are not complicated. So I just want to kind of hammer out all those details and hopefully you'll get something valuable out of this. But the main part of this podcast episode is likely going to be a Q&A. Because I just feel like this is going to go better with prompting rather than me just trying to speak randomly. I'll give you the gist of what dreams are, why we dream, and kind of the general explanation of them, and then I'll go into the Q&A. Okay, so let's just go into what a dream really is. So you go to bed, you lay down, you relax. You go to sleep and you have that paralysis that your body induces. And we have a silver cord, if you can imagine. It's kind of like a tube, either from your belly button or the crown of your head, where your astral body kind of goes and hangs out in the astral, or your energetic body, your spirit, whatever you want to call it. We're talking about the same thing here. But that part of you goes up into the astral, and the best explanation I've heard for the astral is basically the grand central station of the spirit realm. So you can imagine this as basically being, first of all, it's the blueprint for the 3D world. So, like, yes, everything that exists on Earth is also something that exists in the astral. But then it's even more than that. It's stuff that we can't even conceptualize because it's so much different than what we experience on Earth. And it's not things that we can experience on Earth. It's stuff that we can only exist and is only possible in the astral. So the astral is kind of like a catch-all descriptor of universal information, the collective, your Akashic records, like literally everything lives up in the astral. Heaven, all of the different realms. I'll get to that in a moment. Somebody asked me about realms, so I'll explain that. But the general piece of information that you kind of want to carry with you is that dreams are just a way that our astral body goes and tries to figure things out and solve problems that we may not be able to figure out on Earth. So generally, that's what we're trying to do. A lot of the time, that's why people say, why don't you sleep on it? What they really mean is maybe your astral body will actually be able to figure it out for you, and then you're going to be able to bring that information through into the present. Of course, people who say, why don't you sleep on it, generally don't think about an astral body, but that's what I'm telling you they're really suggesting, is that if you say, why don't you sleep on it, it's just another form of problem solving. Now, what I will say is that going up into the astral all the time is not going to solve every single problem, and I don't recommend hanging out in the astral all day, every day. I don't recommend staying outside of your body for an extended period of time, because you're already doing it when you sleep to begin with. It's already happening. You don't have to force it. And you can also view the astral, where you go when you sleep, because there is so much connection up in the astral. It's literally, when you think about the infinite, that's what the astral is. So not only does it include all of the collective information, or the universe itself is what exists in the astral, every element of the universe, but it's also a place where you can visit family members who have passed away. You can do this without dreaming, but a lot of the time, like if you had a dream about a pet who passed away, it's literally visitation when you're in the astral, because you can do that. Generally, and I learned this from a friend of mine she has had a lot of cats over the years. She adopts them and then, you know, going through the process of them passing away, every time they pass away, she asks for them to hang out in her dreams and let her know that they made it over okay. And I do this as well now. Anytime there's a pet that graduates from Earth, I ask them, you know, hey, can you let me know you've made it across okay? And I have a dream about them every time without fail. So that is something that is also possible, but that's why. It's because you're in the astral and everything that exists within the universe exists in the astral. It is the blueprint for the 3D world plus a shit ton of extra stuff. So you've heard people describe the angelic realm. This is also something that exists in the astral. Now, this is actually something that I just asked a mentor of mine as well, as far as like, okay, what's the deal with realms? I did this a couple months ago. And she described it kind of like your chakra system. You know, you have your crown chakra, your third eye, your throat, your heart, your diaphragm, etc., etc. The realms kind of exist in the same way, where it's like you have the astral plane, like the Grand Central Station, as I described, and then you have different tiers, different levels, different layers of the astral, and it's just a realm. So there's a whole bunch of realms. I don't know them all. It's not really something that I study. I'm sure there's a bunch of people where that's like their full-time job and they, you know, investigate all these realms and they do a bunch of stuff up there. There's a lot of realms that I don't want to go to. I have absolutely no desire to go poking around in different realms, because a lot of the time I'm helping people get out of the realms that they're going to that scare them. So generally, if you're having nightmares, it's because you're going to a realm that's really scary for your earth body and for your spirit, because there is stuff that exists. It's not inherently bad. It's more that it's foreign. So you're not understanding why those things are happening. Or when people experience like dreams about alien abduction, like that's technically just another realm that you can go to. That's why you hear people talking about similar experiences that they have around aliens. It's because it's a specific realm that they're visiting, or that they're getting they're visiting it. It's not that they're getting visitations, they are going and visiting that realm. So these are the types of things that exist in the astral, but basically you don't need to know all the details. It's really not important unless you want to make that like a full-time job. But there's a whole bunch of different tiers and layers and complexities and nuances of the astral. And so when you're having a nightmare, or when you're having perhaps a dream of like angels or something, it's just that you're going to a specific realm at night. Or when you get visited by a loved one who's passed away, you're just hanging out in the astral and trying to do some work around different things that potentially you could be figuring out on Earth as well. So it's in order to support you in Earth time. Your astral body is going to try to do that at night when you're asleep in the astral. It doesn't always work, right? It's not going to be enjoyable to have a whole bunch of nightmares, but your astral body a lot of the time is trying. It's trying to help you and figure things out that you might not be able to while on Earth. That's the primary purpose. If you can't figure it out on Earth, your astral body is going to try to do it for you. Now, there's a few other reasons why you might have these dreams, because remember, you're going into the astral every single night. It's not something that happens occasionally. It's not like only when you remember your dreams or when you're actually in the astral. You do it every night. It's just that it's really intense bringing that amount of information through when you wake up, which is why we don't always remember dreams. I'm one of those people that remembers dreams a lot, so I've actually kind of trained myself to just forget about them the majority of the time. I don't want to remember all of my dreams. It's really irritating, quite honestly. So that's the type of thing that, like, you can train yourself to not bring that information through, or you can intensify it, but I know somebody asked a question about that, but my question for you before you start saying, I want to remember all my dreams, I would ask you why. Like, what is your intention in doing that? Because in large part, there's a risk of you exhausting yourself. And so just keep that in mind. But anyway, we dream and go to the astral to solve problems. But another reason why we have really intense dreams is if we're under stress. So stress can really enhance dreams, not necessarily in a good way. But sometimes if you have a dream about like being at work while you're in your dream, it means you're stressed out. So I'll give you an example. I was working retail at this point in time, and it was during the holidays, and I was super stressed out, and I was working these crazy hours, and it was just out of control. And we had like a mug rack, like this big tree with all of these mugs on it, and the stickers with the price on the mugs were on the bottom of the mug. I generally have a cup of tea or a mug of tea next to my bed on my nightstand every single night with, you know, like a, you know, it's like an eighth full filled with cold tea by the end of the evening. And I leave it there and I take my mug to the sink in the morning. So when I was at this really stressful retail job, I was, you know, sleeping, and then I woke up in the morning, I grab my cup of tea that's on my nightstand, and I dumped it over onto myself because I was looking for the sticker because I was having a stressful work dream. So it's kind of like that bleed through of astral time into earth time does happen. So that's something that happened a lot when I was in a really high stress job. It's just nonstop, go, go, go. And you continue to do that even while you're in the astral. It was the same thing when I worked at Jamba Juice. I was a manager there and I would dream about making smoothies. Like that. That's just something that happens. And so stress, problem solving, visiting loved ones who have passed away or pets, trauma or PTSD. A lot of the time, if you're trying to like piece things together, your astral body will venture off into an area where it can recreate that experience, and it's trying to figure it out or have a different outcome, which is why you have really stressful dreams or traumatic dreams. A lot of the time you can dream about something that is happening in the collective. So a few years ago, you know, we had the Parkland shooting in Florida. I had a dream about a mass shooting right the night before it happened. And so it's like you can tap into that collective energy. That's basically all you're doing when you go up into the astral. So that's why premonitions happen in dreams. It's because you're tapping into the frequency of it. Dreams are also a way that we can hang out with people who are still alive. So, you know, if you're like dating someone and you're really into them and you like have a sexy dream about them at night or something like that, it's like, yeah, you're just hanging out in the astral. That happens too. So one of the big reasons why I hate with a fiery passion, not really, but I really don't like dream interpretations because a lot of the time I just don't think it matters. It's like your astral body is just trying to work on something. It doesn't mean anything. Not everything means something. And so I really don't like dream interpretations because it's kind of like I have this recurring dream about dumping spiders out of my shoe. I don't know why. I've had it multiple times. I don't think it's about like the spiders are representative of creative energy and your shoes are representing some other thing. And by dumping this creative energy out of your shoe, like, come on, cut the shit. It's just a dream. I do a bunch of shit up in the astral all the time. It doesn't even matter. And so dream interpretations kind of annoy me to death. That's why I refuse to do them on Q&As. I'm like, don't ask me to do dream interpretations because a lot of the time I really don't think they matter. Like your dreams are just going to fall under one of the categories that I've presented here, you know, problem solving, stress, you know, work dreams, trying to connect with somebody, reliving trauma, you know, working through that. I mean, or something else to that effect, or tapping into collective information or premonitions and things of that nature. A lot of the time they fall under one of those categories. Let me mention something else before we move on. If symbolism is really important to you personally and individually, then that would be different. So if you're already like neck deep in studying it and you already have an understanding of meanings and associating meaning with symbols and everything like that, and that's a primary focus of yours, then you would actually have more information on that than I would. Or if you had a specific sign or meaning or symbol with a loved one or something like that, something that was already meaningful to you, and you had a dream about that, then it might have meaning. But the concept of dream interpretations being universally true for everybody and there being a way to like crack the code of symbolism in dreams and being able to interpret them, I strongly oppose that and I disagree with it. The only symbolism that matters in dreams is the symbolism that you care about and the symbolism that's important to you or is valid and applicable in your own life. It's not that if you have a dream about your teeth falling out, that that means something deeper about your emotional state. Sometimes we just have dreams. It's really not that deep. So when it comes to dream interpretations, I'm absolutely the wrong person to ask about that because I think the majority of them are a crock. And if there are symbols that are going to mean something to you, you're going to know what those are. You're not going to need to have somebody else interpret the dreams for you. It's more of the meaning that you assign it or that you've already given the association to the symbol with. If you've already done that, then it makes sense. But there's no universal dream interpretation that is going to apply to everybody across the board. Now, sometimes you'll have really great dreams where you are able to resolve things, right? So those are really nice dreams when it's like, hey, oh, I had this dream with my ex and it was super awesome because we worked through a bunch of stuff and now I really feel at peace. And a lot of the time you can achieve things like that through your dreams. But the interpretation stuff, the like, what color is your dream? Oh, fun fact, I dream in black and white. So I don't actually dream in color. I'll occasionally have like a dream that might have some red in it or something, but a lot of the time my dreams are monochromatic and they really have a tendency to stay black and white. That's how I know I'm dreaming, but that's just me. That's not everybody. But the interpretation, I think maybe if you put a high value or everything in your life is symbolic, if you're that type of person, then that could be the case. You know, sure, yeah, get a dream book and look it up. Let me know how that goes. I have never found those things to apply to me personally. It's kind of like if you have a dream about your teeth falling out or swallowing your teeth, which I've definitely had, and I think a lot of people have. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It might just be that you're clenching your teeth at night and that information is bleeding through into the astral and vice versa. And for that reason, your astral body is trying to go through like figuring out tooth stuff. And so, yeah, it's kind of freaky to have a dream about your teeth falling out. And like, how could that possibly benefit my earth body? You know, all of that nonsense. So anyway, interpretations are just that. They're interpretations. So you can ask 20,000 psychologists about it or a whole bunch of different people, and they're going to give you different answers. It's the same thing with like animals, you know, spirit animals and things like that. There's a general consensus, I guess, but a lot of the time there's multiple meanings, multiple interpretations, multiple everything. Even with astrology, you know, the way I view the Scorpio archetype might be completely different from other people's. And so it's one of those things where I'm like, don't worry about dream interpretation. I mean, I guess some of you might find that to be really important. I just don't. I really don't think dream interpretation matters at all. And I think it's kind of silly just because I don't know what benefit it really has or what it's, and I just don't find it to be that accurate. Okay, I think that's a pretty solid amount of information. I think you get the gist. It's not anything really complicated. It's just that your astral body is doing work at night the same way your earth body does work during the day. It's just that simple. It doesn't have to be work, and I'll explain to you about intention setting for dreams and things like that. But anyway, let's go into the Q&A. So the first question: why can I never remember good dreams? I can only remember nightmares. And my best explanation for this is that a lot of the time, the logical brain, the rational mind, right, it wants to be able to prepare you for every bad thing that could possibly happen. And so if you have a nightmare, then you're more likely to bring that information through because your brain really, really, really wants to remember that. It wants to have all of that information so that it can protect you from whatever it considers to be a threat in the moment. If you have good dreams, then that's not something that your brain really needs to work up a whole bunch of energy to remember because there's not as much of a threat as a nightmare, for example. Your brain doesn't need to prepare you for all of the good things that are going to happen. Your brain needs to prepare you for bad things that could potentially happen. So I think it's more of an earth mechanical thing that we have going. That's my best explanation for that. But anyway, let's move on. I wake up knowing a lot happened in my dream, but I can't recall details. Why is that? So I feel that way too. Sometimes there will be instances where I'm like, man, I was busy last night. Like I was working or there was like a whole bunch of stuff going on in the astral. I don't know what I was doing, but I just know I was busy. That is just like, yeah, you were probably hard at work. But the details, the information, look, if you remembered every single one of your dreams, you'd be exhausted more than likely unless they were all pleasant. And a lot of us don't have exclusively pleasant dreams. I mean, that would be great, but you don't want to sit around just contemplating what you did in the astral as you're awake all day. It's almost a distraction. So I do think that there's somewhat of a spiritual and physical agreement that we have while we're on Earth where it's like, no, we're not going to be getting all of the information from the astral in the present moment because we'd be distracted and we really wouldn't get anything done. So that's why I think we just are programmed to forget. Okay, here's another one. I have different kinds of dreams depending on where I sleep. I feel more accomplished in other places outside my own room, like more work has been done, even though I don't remember. I think this is just like residue from the dream time. I don't think it's necessarily real. I think it's just a matter of busyness, or if you are in an environment that you're not used to sleeping in, your dreams might actually be more active because you're out of your normal sleeping place, or even your normal sleeping position can sometimes induce a different effect. So here's a really good example. It's not the same, but it's a very similar effect. So when you travel over a whole bunch of different time zones, so if you've ever been out of the country or you've had like a really long time difference, or you've ever been anywhere that's really, really far away, you have the experience of jet lag. And when you have jet lag, your body really wants more REM sleep. And so your dreams can be absolutely bananas. They will be absolutely bonkers when you have jet lag because your body is trying to recoup all of that REM sleep. And so you're in more of a vivid dream state. I remember my first trip to Europe when I came home. I mean, I was having vivid dreams for like 2 months straight. I was exhausted. I was remembering every single dream. They were all bleeding through. And it's something that difference in my sleep and how I was sleeping, the quality and quantity of my sleep was completely different with the jet lag and everything like that. And so, yes, it's like I was way busier in the astral during that time, and I was also calling forth a whole bunch of information as well. So that's kind of where sleeping position can even create changes in that as well, as far as feeling like you're accomplished. It could be that, yeah, you're getting more answers in the astral when you sleep in another room or in another bed or something like that. That could be, or it could just be that you have the busy feeling and that gives you the perception that you're accomplishing more. I hope that makes sense. But yes, sleeping position and placement, time zones, all of that can have an impact on your bodily sensations around dreams and your experiences bringing that information through. Can you set an intention before sleep and get an answer in a dream? Yes, but there's no guarantee that you're going to remember clearly. So the best way I can describe this is if you set your intention before you sleep, hey, astral body, when we go to sleep tonight, I want to get an answer, yes or no, for this thing. You go to sleep, you wake up, and you don't remember the dream. I would argue that you probably still got the information that you needed, even though you don't remember. It's just that your body has the information, but your brain might not. And so even if you don't have all of the details, I would trust the information that comes through. So yes, you can get an answer, but don't set all of your expectations at, I'm going to remember exactly what happens in this dream. It's more of trust that your body is going to receive the information that it needs. And then from that space, you're going to have more confidence in your decision or getting clarity around whatever it is that you're asking about. Is calling in loved ones to visit during sleep just as simple as asking, given that they're available? Yes, it is. You can kind of just like, as if you had a telephone just before you're going to bed, like, hey, can we do this tonight? Or like, let's say you had an ex and you were like, why did things not work out? Or why did we not end up being together? Being able to do that in the astral. Although those types of things I prefer to do when I'm awake so that I remember the interaction. That's just me. I'll talk about that in a moment. I know there's a bunch of questions in here about lucid dreaming and things like that, so I'll explain in a moment. But yes, you just ask. You just kind of like, hey, can we get together tonight? And then see where it goes. But again, like with the previous question, you might feel a sense of peace, clarity, alignment, whatever, but you might not remember the full dream or all of the details. I rarely recall dreams. How can I improve dream recall? Same thing. I would set an intention, but a lot of the time I just wouldn't necessarily expect to remember the dream. Like, go in as an experiment. Say, hey, I want to remember my dream, see what I did last night. You know, try to be more available for that information to come through. But if it doesn't, just say, you know what, maybe it's in my highest good to not remember my dreams. Because I can tell you right now, the people who remember their dreams often and are very active dreamers and bring a lot of that information into the present, it ain't fun. And I can tell you that from personal experience. So yes, you can set your intention, but if it doesn't happen, don't worry or think that it's super important for you. If dream time doesn't work, if your body really does not want to bring that information through, then for you, I would say do more stuff when you're awake rather than when you're asleep, and that would be better. Do angels, guides, and ancestors appear in your dreams as people you know, like a sister? I don't hear that often. I'm sure there is a lot of blended energy because you can think about dreams as just being basically the collective. So at the end of the day, it's like everything kind of has that God energy, even though we have the experience of perceiving it in different forms and figures and things like that. But that's just the human way of digesting information. In reality, it's simply an essence. It's not even like separate at all. So that's where it's like, yeah, sure, they can. It can come up as like an angel and a sister and a pet all in like the same embodiment. But really, you're just talking about collective energy. How does one interpret their dream? You know how I feel about this. Don't do it. It's pointless. Are there steps, tips, tricks that you could share? I mean, I guess just Google, like if you're interested, if you see a whole bunch of deer in your dream, then Google deer and see if it resonates. If you're interested in dream interpretation, I totally get why. Like, no shade at all whatsoever. I hear you. Like, I'm not judging anyone for being curious about dream interpretation. I'm thinking more of like, how do I want to spend my energy? Do I want to spend my energy interpreting dreams? Fuck no. That's a waste of time. Other people might be super into that though. But I think it's just the, like, as far as priorities go when it comes to spiritual work, I can tell you dream interpretation is nowhere on my list. Like, it does not exist on my list because I don't really know how it applies. It takes a lot of energy and it's just, it simply bears no fruit in my experience unless you're doing something where you're setting an intention before you go to sleep. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do with sleep that's really productive. Dream interpretation has the least benefit, in my opinion. Because again, like what I gave with the example of, I have this recurring dream about dumping spiders out of my shoe. Trying to piece together like, well, why are they spiders? And what does that mean? And do they mean creative energy? And oh, what does the creative energy coming out of your shoe? Like, just no. In this lifetime, unfortunately, I have a Virgo moon. So all of that really does not gel with me at all. No judgment. It's just not my thing. So I am the wrong person to ask to interpret your dreams or for advice on that. Why are most dream dictionary books so doom and gloom? I'm assuming you mean like the interpretations, all of the stuff and all of the meanings. This is what I mean. Dream interpretations are ridiculous to me. It's just, it's one person who has a certain set of perspectives who sat down and crafted a book and said spiders mean this and fish mean this and teeth falling out means this and not being able to get your shoes on in a dream means this. And it's just kind of a waste. Like, it's such a waste of energy to me. So I don't have a good answer because I'm just going to start bitching about dream interpretations being stupid and a waste of time. The other thing to keep in mind with dream interpretation is that I think that your personal preferences, views, experiences in earth time will override any spiritual interpretation. So for example, I love spiders. But if spiders are your worst nightmare, then dumping spiders out of your shoe, it would be terrorizing. You might put that in a category of a nightmare. And so it's like, you can't actually have a one-size-fits-all treatment for interpretation. It doesn't work. Like, you can try, but that's why you're saying these books are doom and gloom. And it's because you can't actually measure an interpretation. It's not something that's going to be ultimately consistent, right? Or sticking to spiders, maybe spiders really remind you of your mother or your grandfather or a pet that you had or something like that. In which case, that would actually take precedent over some random like interpretation or ultimate symbolic meaning that someone has given it. And so that's more of my reasoning for that and my explanation for that is it doesn't include the personal experiences and explanations and personal sentiments that we place on different animals, things, experiences, places, whatever it is that's going on in a dream. Is there really a spiritual significance to waking up at a certain hour, like 4 a.m.? No, not in the way that I think you're phrasing it. So, for example, you can be woken up, like you can have a dream where you get a really important download and then you wake up with the information. And I've seen this before. Lots of people talk about this. It's like, I woke up with this idea and I had to write it down, or I had to do this thing right when I woke up, you know, in the middle of the night or whatever. So I think that can have a lot of value. But as far as there being a universal spiritual significance to waking up at 4 a.m., no, I wouldn't lump it all together like that. So that's just me. You know, I'm kind of a curmudgeon around things like this. So that, but I mean, again, there's going to be other people who are like, 4 a.m. is when your melatonin is at peak intensity, and for this reason, it means that God is speaking directly through you. You know, you get people like that who are super intense around dreams. I am not. I am not that person, but, you know, take what I say for a grain of salt. Again, people are going to hear the information from the person that they resonate with most, or that's kind of speaking at the same frequency. So I'm one of those where it's like, not everything is super meaningful, even though, yeah, I have a Pisces sun, but I'm definitely not into that stuff. Okay, can I elaborate on lucid dreaming? I do it like crazy every time I'm sick. Okay, yes. So let me explain lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is basically just when you are consciously dreaming. So for example, a lot of people just dream on autopilot. Their astral body is the one who's in charge. And so the astral body is what's taking all of the action. You're not actually involved. Lucid dreaming is basically where your mind, your earth body's mind, understands that it's dreaming and decides to start taking action in the dream in a lucid state, even though you're in the astral. So that's something that people try to intentionally do. And then there's other times when you'll be lucid dreaming just randomly. I do it quite a lot, but it's not intentional. It's just something where a lot of the time this happens to me in nightmares. If I recognize I'm having a nightmare, then I will, a lot of the time it'll end up being a lucid dream because I'm trying to get out. So there's a few reasons why this can happen. One, you're intentionally trying to do it, which I don't recommend. I think it's a waste of energy, and I'll explain why. Two, you are intuitive, understand you're in a dream, and like me, are either trying to do something in the dream once you're there or you're trying to get out. 99% of the time for me, when I notice I'm having a dream, I'm like, okay, just let me rest. Like, leave me alone. This is my peace and quiet. I just want to go to bed. I just want a peaceful, restful evening. That's me the majority of the time. Or it's that, like what I said earlier about having like a triple dose of REM sleep, like if you're lacking sleep. So for the example that you gave, as far as being sick, your body needs extra rest. It's trying to recoup. It needs extra REM. So you're going to have more energy in your astral state, in your astral body, because it's trying to work for you and your body is trying to rest. And so a lot of the time, if your earth body is really tired, then it's almost easier to stay out of your earth body. This isn't good, but when you're dreaming, it would make sense, right? If you're sick and your body is like trying to rest and recoup and everything, and you're trying to take a break, and so you go into the astral and you're dreaming, that completely makes sense as far as why that happens when you're sick opposed to when you're not sick. So that's the best way I can explain it, is, you know, it feels a lot easier to be in that dream state in the astral because your body is really tired and it's trying to heal. When you see people and interact, could they be seeing me from their perspective too? Yes, absolutely. People dream with each other all the time. That's super common. Is it me or are others also having a ton of vivid dreams over the last 6 months? I would not say so, but that's also just from my sample size. So if a lot of people around you have been saying that, I think it has more to do with your intimate circle of people that you've been talking to rather than the actual collective, if that makes sense. I think it might just be the people that you're tuned into and hooked into. I don't think it's representative of a larger sample size. Can I control my dreams? Yeah, by some of the things that I've explained, intention setting, asking to meet up with people in the astral. If you happen to lucid dream, let me explain why I don't recommend lucid dreaming right now. My whole beef with lucid dreaming, and we can also put astral projection in here as well. Look, you guys, astral projection is actually nothing fancy. Astral projection means you go into the astral. Guess what? I do that every time I meditate. It's really not anything more than just literally either exploring in the astral, looking at the astral, being in the astral in some capacity, building in the astral. It's kind of like if I want a dream house, I might need to sculpt it out in the astral first. That's all astral projection is. Yes, yes, yes. There's going to be people who make it a super big deal, think it's, you know, or maybe it's changed their life, this astral projection thing that they're doing, blah, blah, blah. That's fine and well. That's okay. That's great. But my whole thing is you can do all of this while you're awake. You don't actually need to spend all of your sleep time doing it. It makes no sense to me, at least. As someone who meditates and does things in the astral on a regular basis, I don't think it's necessary for me to spend all of my time, which should be sleeping, resting, recouping, relaxing, restoring my body. I'm not going to spend all of that energy trying to like fuck around in my dreams. I'm either going to let my astral body do what it needs to do, or I'm going to set an intention and just kind of set it and forget it. I'm going to set my intention for the dream. I'm going to let my body do its thing and just trust that I'm going to get the right information. I want to wake up rested. I don't want nighttime to become a full-time job, which is where I think people who are really fixated on lucid dreaming and astral projection kind of fall into, is if there's such an emphasis on it, it's kind of like, well, why don't you just go into a meditation and have 100% control over it? Go into the astral and be able to do whatever you want. It's not like that. That's where I don't really understand from an efficiency standpoint. I don't think that astral projection or lucid dreaming, you know, trying to do these things at night when you're asleep, I don't think that's an efficient way to do things. Because one, you can do all of this stuff when you're awake. Okay, so it's something that I would rather just take it easy, do it while I'm awake. If I'm trying to figure something out, bring the information down, have it all ready, and then get a full night's rest. And two, it is absolutely exhausting if you're trying to bring all of this information intentionally from when you're sleeping into your waking state. And it's just not a restful experience if you're trying to go ham in your dreams. Like, just I don't recommend it. It's very, very fatiguing. And so I don't think that people consider that. It's like, it sounds really cool, but it's not actually that much more interesting than going into a meditation and doing it independently. Are dreams just a reaction of the subconscious, stress, or is it some kind of message from the universe? I would say both. I mean, I've given you all the reasons for dreaming. So I hope that answered it for you already. Are dreams linked to one's intuitive abilities, when to follow the signs and when not? I don't understand the second half of this question, when to follow the signs. I really can't answer that because I don't know what it applies to, or if you're talking about signs that you're getting in dreams or what those signs might be. I mean, really, I think it depends on your level of confidence and your inner knowing. It's not actually any different. The astral version of you and the present time version of you, It's just your confidence and your own intuition is the main thing that's going to make or break that. So whatever information you feel confident or whatever decision you feel confident about, I would trust that, your inner knowing. But as far as our dreams linked to one's intuitive abilities, I would say yes, but it's more from a, are you open? So that seems to be the defining factor in terms of dream experience. It's not just the intuitive quality, but also, are you open to doing things in a dream state? I think that has more to do with it. Intuition can definitely make it easier to bring dreams through into present time. That's not a hard rule, but it is something that I notice is that, yeah, if you understand your spirit body, if you understand your astral body pretty well, then dream time is kind of a breeze when you're up there, when you are bringing information through. It's not as taxing if you're already really intuitive to begin with. So what I mean by that is I spend hours and hours and hours a day pulling information down from the astral. I'm practiced at it, right? I'm doing it all the time, whether it be like even just a tarot reading that you guys watch on YouTube. That's technically me pulling information from the astral in order to get a forecast of the month ahead. So I'm working with the astral in those readings as I'm doing them. The same goes for when I'm dreaming at night. If I want that information from the astral, I can bring it into the present time, my present experience with it. And I can remember it only because I'm really used to that. So it's not that exhausting to me. But I don't actively want to do that because I'm like, that's my full-time job. I don't need to do it when I'm trying to rest and relax. And so that's where it's kind of like, yeah, the intuitive piece can really make it kind of bleed through easier. But that's pretty much it. Because we're all dreaming. We're all in the astral. The key piece that people typically talk about is, do I bring the information through or not? Can you travel to the other side, heaven, in a dream? Yeah, for sure. It's all kind of the same thing. I mean, technically, like, when you die, when you pass away, you'll go to, like, if you really, really, if Jesus was the teacher that you followed in this lifetime and that is just your Lord and Savior and you know that you are just going to go and be with Jesus when you die, you will. There's a place for that. Along with many other different experiences and beliefs from this lifetime, it's going to transfer over into the experience of heaven or the afterlife. And you continue to evolve even when you're in the astral. It doesn't just stop here. It's like the school continues, the learning continues even when you're in the astral. But yes, you can experience elements of that. Are you going to get a full picture in a single dream of the entirety of heaven? Absolutely not. There's no way. I couldn't even do that if I tried right now. And the reason being is that I do not know in my current human mind what everyone's experience or what everyone's belief system is around heaven. Therefore, I can't see every element of it because there's probably a lot of religions and beliefs that I haven't heard of that actually believe different things happen when you pass on. And if I don't know that exists, it's going to be hard for me to imagine it or hard to find it in the astral, if that makes sense. Okay, why do we have dreams about things that are going to happen if we can't change them? You're just tuned into a specific radio station, and so you can have a dream about it. Like I gave my example about the mass shooting. It's like, of course, I can't do anything about it. That's why I don't want to bring dreams through all the time. I don't want to have premonitions every night. Fuck that. No, absolutely not. That would drive me bananas. If I was tapped into like every tragedy that happened while I was asleep, oh my God, that would be a nightmare. So it's like you can do that, right? You can be tapped into it, but it's not anything more than just understanding what the collective is going through or experiencing. Is there any way I can set myself up to dream more vividly? I don't have any personal recommendations for this because I don't practice this personally, so I don't think I'm necessarily the right person to ask. I would just give the same piece of advice that I gave earlier. If you want to have the dream, set the intention, ask to remember the dream, ask for the information, see if that works, and then go from there. When I close my eyes to go to sleep, I've started to see brightness. It's not like the dark of my eyelids. Am I seeing the astral? I don't know. I would need to read you directly to really tell what's going on with that. It could be a lot of things. That's why I don't have a good answer, because my mind goes to like 7 different places when you're bringing that up. I just can't answer. I would need to like dig and pry a little bit more to get more context on that. Why do some dreams feel more real than others? Because you're bringing more information through. When something feels really real and it feels like, oh my God, I was there, it was so vivid, it just means you brought more information through into present time. Okay, here's another one. Science says that we never see new faces in dreams, but I don't believe it. So is it true? Okay, whatever scientist claims to know that 100% with absolute certainty is full of shit. I don't care how many brain scans you do. I don't care how much measuring you do. I don't care how many beakers and tinctures you have out on your desk. No, 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 no. That does not explain everything. And I 100% disagree with the idea that you can't dream a new face. Because remember, dreams are the collective. So I'd push back against that. I would say just because you're claiming that based on a brain scan or information that has to be stored in the brain, that is such a naive perspective, in my opinion, especially for a scientist to claim that. It's like you can't come to that conclusion. You can't prove that. It's simply not provable. So I don't agree with the scientific dogma of if we can't prove it or if we don't have 100% evidence on it, then we, you know, should just make assumptions. That's not how science works. It's my beef with the scientific community. If every diet has its effect, is there an effect on dreams for carnivore, vegetarian, and vegan diets? I would say yes, but it doesn't have to do with the diet per se, but it has more to do with the belief system around the diet, right? So if you're a vegan and the idea of animal cruelty or eating animal flesh is something that is extremely stressful for you, right, then that might be a nightmare that comes up because that's something that you're really fixated on. You have a lot of stress around. There's a lot of moving pieces regarding your belief system, your diet, how that lines up, and then also the collective information. So there's opportunities to have stress dreams around that and things of that nature. I think it has more to do with the belief, the emotional tie to it, right? So you can be a carnivore, but that doesn't mean you're anti-vegan. You know, it could just mean that you have a really severe autoimmune disease and you've been on an elimination diet for a long time and now all you can eat is meat, right? So there's these things are very nuanced, and I think that the people who are going to have more dreams regarding diets are going to be more about the ideology of it. That's more where I think that would go. So for example, Danielle Laporte was talking about the reason why she decided to become a vegetarian was because eating meat was extraordinarily stressful. She would like break down and start apologizing to the chicken that she's about to eat and things like that, right? So that's a very high stress situation. Whereas for me, I'm an omnivore, for those of you who are wondering. I never dream about anything like that because I'm extraordinarily neutral about food. So anyway, if that's something that's like a really big part of your life and that's something that's like a really, really big deal to you, then, you know, you're going to be more likely to dream about these things. But it depends like how intense you are about the belief piece. That's that's my take on it. Other people might feel differently, but that's just what I've observed myself. I was also asked about dream inception, like dreaming about dreaming. And I don't remember exactly what the question was. I think it was just to elaborate on what that is. And the best thing I can say about that, or at least my understanding of that, because I've done that myself, having dreams about dreaming, is just that you're basically doing what you do on Earth, but you're doing it up in the astral. That's really the only difference. It's not that different. It's just that we're missing the 3D part of ourselves, as well as the shadow aspect of ourselves. We don't get to play with duality when we're in the astral the same way we get to do it when we're on Earth. But dreaming about dreaming is just like doing what we always do on Earth, just doing it up in the astral instead. I don't think it's any more complex than that. Of course, it depends, like, what else is going on in the dreams. But you guys already know the conclusion of this entire episode is basically dreams don't matter all that much. Anyway, take that for what it's worth. And I hope that non-answer kind of answers. Okay, last question. Can dreams be downloads from the universe or God? Sure, like, again, the astral is just the collective information. So you can definitely get information, downloads, all of that stuff from dreams and from your dream state. That's absolutely something that is available. Like I mentioned with the whole ex thing, like, let's say you had an ex, you wanted to dream with them and solve some stuff or get some closure or something like that, you can definitely get that. And so it's like that's not actually any more separate from God or anything like that. It's the purest form of that information coming through. So, I should mention here that I do have some people who experience like an evil version of their partner up in the astral when they dream. And I think that has more to do with stress or like the astral trying to figure out confrontation with that person or like the shadow side of that person. That's at least my interpretation of it. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's the best description I can really come up with. That's like, if I were to take a stab in the dark, I actually think that people dream about an evil partner, like their partner's evil twin. Like they're so much better on Earth than they are in the astral, just because they're trying to work through that partner's shadow, if that makes sense. Anyway, that is all that I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. I absolutely appreciate each and every one of you. If you need some support, if you need to work with me, go to onyxhealing.com. All of your dreams will come true if you just go to onyxhealing.com. I swear to you, best decision you'll ever make. All of my goodies are on there, meditations and sessions with me and all sorts of good stuff. Sign up for my newsletter. Get a weekly message sent right to your inbox every single Sunday. And you'll also get notified if you sign up for my newsletter. I only put them out on Sundays unless there's a special occasion happening. But if you struggle to stay up with YouTube readings, I send you a link in your inbox as well on whenever they come out. That's all I've got for now. And until next time, have a beautiful week, everybody. I will talk to you later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.